All right, brethren, let's turn to John chapter 19. Christoph, you give me some water. John 19, let's begin in verse 30. Our Lord here is on the cross. And it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The Lord Jesus is the Sabbath rest of his people. He is the Sabbath rest of his people. We enter into rest through faith in Christ. We cease from our works of trying to be righteous before God, and we believe on the Lord Jesus, and then we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by law. We walk by faith. Walk by faith. Now we read here in verse 31, the Jews, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. It was the preparation. It was the Friday. It was a Friday, and Saturday was the Sabbath, the next day. And on that Sabbath day, as you know from the law, God commanded the children of Israel to rest, cease from all their work. They were to rest. And not only were they to rest, they were to give their servants a day of rest, and they were to give their beasts even a day of rest. Everything was supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. And that particular Sabbath, Saturday, was a high day. It was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In addition to it being the weekly Sabbath, it was the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were going to go 7 weeks until Pentecost, and this was the day that that would begin. And it was the day the Lord appointed for the peace offerings. This is when they would come with the first fruit, the sheaf offering. They present themselves to the Lord in the temple. So they're working feverishly to get everything prepared that Friday so that on that Saturday they can rest. So they can rest. They can do no work. Working, working, working. So on that Saturday they can rest. So they want his legs broken so he will die, so they can get him down off the cross so that they won't break the Sabbath day. Now, every ceremony that they were trying to observe that God had given in the law, when Christ cried, it's finished, all of them had been fulfilled. He was the fulfillment of all of them. Everything they were trying to observe, he fulfilled it all. He fulfilled it all. Christ himself is the temple in whom believers present ourselves to God. There's no coming to God except in that temple, in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the peace offering. He's the one who made peace between God and his people. He is the first fruit. He's the first begotten from the dead. We come before God waving nothing but him. That's it. He's the one God's pleased with. And everything that we come thanking God for, that's what that typifies. We're thanking God for Christ And we thank God through Christ. And Christ is our Sabbath rest. He is our Sabbath rest. Now, God's purpose in all those sabbatical laws was to typify the Lord Jesus. That was his purpose in all of them. They were signs. And the Lord said that. The Lord said they were signs. Go back to Exodus 31. In verse 13, the Lord said, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign." You see that? It's a sign. It's a type. It's a picture. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I'm the Lord that makes you holy. The Lord Jesus declared plainly, he is the sign given. He declared that plainly. No other sign will be given. He's the sign given. And he was the sign that the Sabbath typified. It was a shadow. The law having a shadow of good things to come, the Hebrew writer said. Not the very image of the things. It wasn't salvation in that. It wasn't righteousness in that. It was a shadow. They could never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. That the Lord was saying that through the Sabbath. He's saying, I am the Lord who makes you perfect. It's not this keeping of this day. This day is a picture of that. This day is to picture that I'm the one that sanctify you and make you holy. Perfect. Christ did that. But self-sanctifying men then and self-sanctifying men now don't hear that. What they hear is, verily, verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep. And they think they have. And they think they can. If that's so, then this is required. Here's what's required. Every seventh day, the children of Israel were required to observe the Sabbath day, every Saturday. And at the end of every seventh week, they were required to observe Sabbath. And in the seventh month of every year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, they were required to keep a Sabbath the whole week. And then every seventh year, they required to keep a Sabbath the whole year and rest the whole year. Not to mention every other law there is, have to keep. It takes the Spirit of God to regenerate and give life and discernment to understand everything in this book is declaring Christ is salvation. Everything in this book is declaring Christ is the righteousness and holiness of his people. It is not in our hands. It is not in our hands. A type is what it was. A sign is what it was. Our Sabbath is Christ who sanctified his people by his one offering. He made his people perfect by his one offering. Until we know that, we're not resting in him. Till we made to know he is our only holiness, we're not resting in him. We're looking to our hands. We have to rest in him. The Lord said this, he would be the sign over and over. Listen to this. In Isaiah 11:10, he said, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign." That's a sign, an ensign of the people. "To it," that is to him, "shall the Gentiles seek," and listen, "his rest shall be glorious." Or it could read, "his rest shall be glory." His rest shall be glory. Christ arose when he cried, "It's finished." He came out of the grave and he arose into his glory and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, because the work of perfecting his people he finished. That's what he declared when he said, "It is finished." Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. His rest shall be glory. He entered into glory, and he's resting. He sat down. He's resting, and he is our rest. You know, when God created the world, he rested on the seventh day because the work was finished. The work was finished. That's why he rested. And so Christ arose and he sat down at the right hand of God because he finished the work. Go over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 11. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And that's what men are doing today. That's what men are doing today. Not offering lambs and things like that, but offering sacrifices that can't make a person perfect. They can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. You see there? He sat down at the right hand of God because the work was finished. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what the Holy Spirit makes us to know when Christ, who is holiness, enters in spirit, and creates a new holy man in his holiness. What he makes you to know is, he's your only holiness. It's finished. He perfected you. That's what he makes you know. That's true sanctification, to know he's my holiness. Then you start walking after him, but you're in sanctification. You're in holiness. It don't get no better than that, ever. And nothing you do is going to make it worse. Here our Lord Jesus, in the midst of their unfinished working, he cried out and said, "It is finished. It is finished." Now, secondly, Christ is the Sabbath, and through faith in Christ, we find sweet, sweet rest in him. Sweet rest in him. When a sinner is made to see that we've never once kept the law, in the righteousness God requires, and yet God makes you to behold that we are accepted of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the bondage comes off. That's when the burden comes off. That's when worshiping the Lord Jesus, following him, walking after him, becomes a delight. Before, you were scared to death some Pharisee was going to see something you did wrong and you were living in bondage. That's not so now. That's not so now. When you know you have eternal salvation in Christ by his blood and by his righteousness, and understand, the reason you know this is he's created a new man that's holy within. That's the only way you know. That it's not in your flesh. Your flesh is sin. It's in the new man that you know that he's made you holy within. But you're looking to him. You're looking to him. Then you know he that spared not his own son shall with him freely give you all things. He'll meet every necessity you have in this life. That's rest. That's rest. That's when, you know, until then, until Christ is made righteousness and holiness to it, we're trying to earn righteousness and holiness. If you're religious, if you're not, we just thought we were anyway, but we're trying to earn it. But then you rest. You're not trying to earn that anymore. You know you are righteous and holy by Christ Jesus. And not only that, before everything we did in our life was bondage because we were dog-eat-dog, just trying to live for this world and get all we could. And that was our salvation. Covetous, covetous, covetous. Don't spend a lick of... keep 98 cents out of the first dollar you ever made. Now, you know Christ to provide for you. Christ will provide for you. And it takes that burden off. You have rest now. You can be generous to the Lord's people. And even as the Lord's teaching us to walk through this world, it's rest. It's rest. Even in his correction, it's rest. Our Redeemer is not like the strict schoolmaster, not like the law. He's not like the Pharisee that enforced the law. The law smacked us on the hand when we did wrong. Keep us fearful and in bondage. That's not how the Lord corrects his children. It's rest even in the way he corrects his children. Christ is meek and lowly in heart. That's what he said. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Come and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And that's how he deals with his people. In every word, when he corrects, Christ turns us to him in whom we have sweet, sweet rest. That's what every word of correction is not only turning us to him, it's making us behold him. That's how he turns us to him. And that's rest to us, brethren. That's why his yoke's light and easy. He's constantly declaring into the heart, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. From God is there is no else, none else. He keeps teaching you this. Every word is to keep us looking to him, who is our salvation. His discipline of his child is to keep reminding us we have the rest of complete pardon in him. What made you rest in him in the beginning? When he made you know you have complete pardon in him, that's where you, when you found rest. That's what he keeps doing. He keeps making you know it's to the praise of the glory of his grace that he's made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have forgiveness. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. He keeps making you know this. He corrects his child by renewing us inwardly, declaring we have the rest of perfect reconciliation with God our Father by him. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses to us, and hath committed to us this word of reconciliation. This is what he keeps making you know. The law generates wrath and just tangles you up in more bondage. It's this gospel that frees you. It's this gospel that turns you to him and endears us more and more to him. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, were the things in earth, the things in heaven. You that were sometime alienated, enemies in your minds by wicked work, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable in his sight. That's the only way. That's the only way. There's men in this world who actually think they're going to stand before God, that all-knowing, all-seeing God, and stand there unblameable because of something they did. He's going to present us in him unblameable in by what he's done for his people. That's how he keeps you continuing in faith, keeps you grounded and settled in him, knowing he's not going to let you go, and he's going to keep you looking to him. See, this is how he is the sanctifier. He keeps us turning from this sanctifier, ourselves, and looking to him who's our sanctifier. That's what a sanctifier does. He's turning you. He's purging you from all that's in you and keeping you looking to him. And he gives you rest by making you know you have eternal security in him. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave me them is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And he keeps making you know that. And by this, by him keeping us looking to him, by the Lord Jesus keeping us looking to him, he keeps giving us rest by assuring his child that this very one who's begun this good work in you, he will perform it until the end. He'll perform it to the end. We get strong and, you know, think we're strong. And we get to looking at some achievements we think we've made. And when that happens, we get big and Christ gets small in our esteem. And he has to turn that around. So he comes and shows you we don't have any strength in ourselves. He shows us we don't. He put us in some situation to see we don't have any. And he turns you to him who is your strength. And he grows you in faith that way. And when the way is dark and your soul's chastened and you don't have any strength, the Spirit just keeps working in the new man. And he gives you rest by assuring us that everything in providence that you're facing is being worked especially for you. Look at that in Romans 8. I know I've been hung up on this, but these go together. We need to read this together. Look at Romans 8. Verse 26, and look, from chapter 7 to right here, Paul is saying how he keeps delivering you from the body of this death. This is how he does it. Look here in Romans 8, 26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so we know, this is how we know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's when providence is so dark you don't have any light. And the Spirit gives you light and shows you this dark providence is working together for your good. God's working it for you. That's rest, isn't it? That's rest. No matter what you face, the Lord's working for you. That's rest. Christ through the Spirit making us behold his everlasting love, laying down his life for his people. That's how he keeps granting repentance and growing us in faith and keeping us resting in him. That's how. He corrected that woman caught in adultery that very way. That was the discipline. He made her see him standing between her and the law. He said, there's none to condemn you. He looked upon Peter. He looked at Peter, and Peter looked at him, and that's when he wept. He said, I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and a supplication, and they'll look upon me whom they've pierced. And they'll mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and they'll be in bitterness for him as one's in bitterness for his firstborn. You want to help your brethren who you see have fallen? Preach Christ to them. That's what he's saying. I'm going to turn you to look to me, and that's what's going to break your heart. You can go and hammer them with precepts and law all you want to. That ain't going to do it. Turn them to Christ. Why keep doing it then? Why not look for Christ in these scriptures and speak Christ to brethren? And then thirdly, rest, brethren, is never found in keeping ordinances of the law. It's not found there. It's only through faith in Christ alone. So many today are doing exactly what the Pharisees were doing, trying their best to keep the word of God, whether it's old or new, trying to keep it, but rejecting Christ the whole time. Paul declared those who keep legal ordinances in an attempt to worship God are not beholding Christ, the head. They've not submitted to Christ. Let me show you that, Colossians 2. Colossians 2, he tells us in Colossians 2, verse 14, Christ has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He said in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath. They're a shadow of things to come. They were a sign, but the body is of Christ. Now look down there in verse 20. Wherefore, if you are dead with Christ, are you dead with Christ? Did you die with Christ at Calvary? If you're dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why are you acting like your life's in the world? That's what he's saying. Why, as though your life's in this world, are you subject to ordinances? What's the harm with that? Look at verse 23. They have indeed a vain show of wisdom in will worship and false humility and neglecting of the body, but they don't satisfy or to the satisfying of sinful flesh, but they don't honor God. They satisfy the sinful flesh, but that don't honor God. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. You see him resting there? He's saying, you're resting there with him. Seek him there. You're resting there. You won't rest. See him seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who's our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. See, Paul's declaring that because that's what's going to mortify our flesh, is looking to Christ and resting in Christ. That's it. This is the power by which he mortifies the flesh. Now catch that last word. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now listen, believer, there is a rest that remains for the believer. There's a rest that remains for the believer. That's what the Hebrew writer was saying in Hebrews 4:9. God required the children of Israel rest every seventh year, the whole year. Can you imagine that? Everybody in the whole nation does no work for the whole year. They just rest the whole year. But here was the thing. The Lord did not permit them to do that while they were in the wilderness. It was when they got into Canaan, when they came into the promised land. He said, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. That was the year-long Sabbath, every seventh year. See, we're resting in Christ by faith right now. We're walking by faith in Christ right now, just like they kept those other Sabbaths walking through the wilderness. We're resting in Christ right now. We're going through this wilderness. But there's rest coming, brethren, when we enter into our promised Canaan, when we enter into heavenly glory, where we're going to rest forever with him in perfection. It's called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We have liberty right now. That's this rest we have. But that's going to be the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That'll be rest for all eternity. There was a preacher in England, and he held several days. He was holding meetings in a tent preaching the gospel. And the last meeting came, he'd finished preaching and folks were leaving, and this young man come running up to him, and he said, sir, tell me what I need to do to be saved. And he wasn't earnest about it. And preacher could detect that he was actually asking, what are some things I can do to save myself? And the preacher never looked up. He's just working on a tent peg. And he said, you're too late, son. And the boy was a little startled, and he probably was offended. And he said, too late? He said, surely there's something I can do. And he said, no, son, you're too late. He said, it was finished hundreds and hundreds of years ago on Calvary's cross when Christ said, it is finished. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is directly the opposite of trying to do something to save yourself. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him and you shall be saved. That's our gospel. That's our gospel beginning to end. That's our gospel beginning to end. Brethren, this is what the Lord said. And this is what the Lord is still saying. This is what He keeps declaring to us. This is what He works for us when he called us in the first hour. This is what He works for us when He's correcting us. This is what He works for us. Beginning to end, this is what He says to you. Every word, this is it right here. This is what He's saying. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you laboring? Is somebody here that has never believed Him, and you're laboring, and you want to have salvation, and you're just in bondage, and you're just laboring, and you don't have any peace in your heart? He says, come unto Me, I will give you rest. Anybody here that believes Him and you're laboring and you're in bitterness and bondage for whatever reason it is, He says, come unto Me. I will give you rest. There is no rest anywhere else at any time. Come to Me. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. You're going to find when He teaches you, rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. If we're going to submit to the righteousness of God, if we're going to submit to the righteousness of God, if we're going to fulfill both tables of the law toward God and toward man, submit to the righteousness of God, Christ Jesus, who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That's what it means. Come unto Him and He'll give you rest. He is the righteousness of God. Submit to Him, believing Him, and you have rest. And He will keep you knowing you have rest until that day you enter into that great eternal Sabbath day forever. I pray God bless that. Amen. Father, thank You for this word. Lord, thank You for continually keeping us looking to Your righteousness. Thank You for giving us grace to submit to Him, to trust Him to save us. Lord, thank You for the rest we have. Thank You for the mercy You keep giving and the meekness and lowliness with which You teach us and keep us looking only to Christ. Thank You, Lord, for humbling us. Thank You for never ceasing to keep Your people. Thank You for all the provision You give us. Lord, You truly have given Your people rest. We thank You. Lord, help us to fully enter into this and help us to know it is finished. Lord, increase us in faith to know that our Lord Jesus had truly perfected Your people forever. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. In Christ's name, amen.